hope that is given to us through the coming of Jesus Christ. As we turn to a second theme, peace, we come to something that really in many ways is the heart of the gospel message when it comes to Christmas, why Christ came and what he has brought. Peace is not something that is easily obtained in our world, even given all of the efforts that seem to be expended to try and get it. There is not peace between nations. There is not peace between ethnicities. There is not peace within cultures. And there is not peace within hearts. There is a brokenness that exists, that has existed ever since the fall of man at the beginning of history. There is a brokenness that has come. And while Christ has come to offer peace, all too often that desire of Christ to give us peace and that plan of God to bring peace that was announced by those angels is often something that is just forgotten completely. And instead, we treat it like we treat all claims that we're bringing peace as kind of a wish. It's kind of like when you hear peace on earth, goodwill toward men, it's kind of like God bless you after you sneeze. You know, it's just something people say. But it's so much more. I want us to look at one verse today, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Would you look at it with me? In fact, would you read it with me? It's right in the middle of that announcement by the angels to the shepherds. We don't have time all to play Linus and read the whole thing today. So we just come right to the center. After the one angel announces the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem to the shepherds and tells them the sign to look for, it says he's joined by a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, and here it is, say it with me, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now you probably noticed that didn't sound like Linus right there, or the King James that you grew up on like I grew up on if you did. But that's important for us to catch. We'll talk about that in just a minute. This little phrase, peace among those with whom he is pleased, or as our culture understands it, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, is so much more than just a pleasantry. This was not the angels having finished the important announcement saying, okay, bye-bye for now, good wishes, goodwill toward men, so much more. You need to understand, first of all, this announcement and this statement was offered to maligned men. Men who were not respected in their culture. In fact, shepherds were not highly valued. It was not viewed as a good career move to say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a shepherd. The only people who were shepherds were people who had been raised as shepherds. It was a dirty job. It was a job that almost always left you ceremonially unclean. And some scholars have said that they believe that these particular shepherds outside of Bethlehem may well have been the shepherds tending flocks that were used for temple sacrifice in Jerusalem, just 5 or 6 miles away. If that's true, think of the irony of it. They're raising the sacrifices to be offered in the temple, and they themselves most often were excluded because by nature their job left them ceremonially unclean. People feared shepherds to some extent simply because they were just kind of loners. They were off with their sheep. They weren't often a part of the larger society. And so rumors would develop about shepherds and their trustworthiness. These were men who were maligned. And yet they receive an announcement from mighty messengers. Now again, our modern culture has not helped us, neither has art, because typically when we hear about angels coming, we think of some kind of frilly, white, winged, kind of effeminate creature telling us good news. And then all of a sudden, a choir with high-pitched voices singing all sorts of alleluias. That is not what angels look like. Angels, when it talks about the heavenly host is another word for armies. Okay? The sight of one angel made both Daniel in the Old Testament and John in the New Testament fall down and want to worship because they're thinking, this being is so much greater than I am and so much more powerful. They're incredibly impressive and intimidating, which is why it says that they were, as it said in the old King James, sore afraid. They were very frightened. And this multitude appears. And these mighty messengers, they only seem to appear at crucial times in God's plan. And this multitude, when they come and announce this glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom he's pleased, this is not exactly something that leads to a peaceful feeling. But not only were these maligned men and mighty messengers, understand this was a message that when they had spoken this message, when the angels finished this message, this phrase empowered the shepherds to do things that put their livelihoods at risk and to become the first real evangelists on record. And yet we almost always misunderstand it. You see, it's not just a parting wish. It's not just kind of the end and a wrap-up and a bit of a blessing. It's a declaration. What the angels are doing after announcing the birth of Jesus, when the multitude are praising God, they're praising God in terms of what this birth is going to accomplish. What's going to happen because of what they've just said? A Savior has been born who is Christ the Lord. What does that bring? What results come? Well, there are results in heaven and in earth. What's the result in heaven? Well, it's the first part. Glory comes to God in the highest. What we're being told is glory is going to be given to God by all those who are in heaven. That's the spiritual realm. We don't know much about the spiritual realm. In fact, it's one of those things that I'm actually reading a book about it right now, and there are all these little clues in the scripture about it, but just enough to whet your appetite. I mean, what goes on in that unseen realm that exists and is just as real as ours, where angels live? We don't know. Just little hints here and there. But we do know this. What happened in Bethlehem was something so powerful that angels and all of the heavenly hosts are praising God and saying, God, you are amazing what you're accomplishing. You are glorious in your salvation. They are seeing this and amazed. And perhaps the spiritual realm is most amazed because when angels fell, there was no redemption. They had never seen anything like this before. Glory to God. Well, what was the result on earth? Well, the angels tell us, peace. Peace on earth. Now, it's not political. Luke begins chapter 2 with that statement. Now, it came about in the days of Caesar Augustus that a decree went forth that all the world should be taxed. You know what Luke is doing? He's comparing kingdoms and kings. He's saying, you know, earthly kingdoms, they say they're going to bring peace, but they bring, in Caesar's case, taxes. Has anything really changed? We're going to give you government and you're going to pay for it. You've got to come up with the resources. But Luke says, look at this king who has peace announced for earth because of him. Not political, it's not just emotional, although emotions are certainly involved. It's not just military. It's not the absence of warfare. It's not as if someone's declared a ceasefire and shooting has stopped. No, no. This word, peace, is a word related to the Hebrew word that's a greeting still in Hebrew, shalom. Shalom. The word shalom has so much meaning in it. When you just say it, it seems like just a quick, simple word, but it's so much more. It means wholeness. Wholeness. It is a sense of well-being and good welfare. It refers to that which comes because you have right relationship with God. When you say to someone, shalom, part of what you're saying is, I'm wishing for you right relationship with God, but But the Hebrew mind also understood that once you're in right relationship with God, you're in right relationship with those around you. You are in right relationship with the one who controls your circumstances. In fact, to wish someone shalom in its fullest sense meant, what I'm wishing for you, shalom to you. It's may you be right with God, right with all around you, and right in terms of pursuing the path that God has for you. I'm reading a book right now called The Me I Want to Be, and its premise is this: God is the one who has designed you and set you in this world according to His plan, and He has a design for you to reach. The absence of peace is this: we're not in right relationship with God. And that means we're not in right relationship with others. We're in competition with others. And what's even worse, we're not even in right relationship with our own selves. There's a brokenness inside. Instead of being the me that God has designed me to be, I try to be the me that I think people want me to be. Or I try to be the me that others have said I should be. Or I might try to be all of those things. But how do I become what God has designed me to be? How do I know Him? How do I find myself no longer in competition with others? Through this peace, this shalom settles our eternal destiny. We see how significant this is because of the way the word peace is used. It's the gospel of peace, according to Ephesians 6:15 and Acts 10:36, that is being preached. It is a gospel that brings this good news about Jesus' birth and what Jesus was going to accomplish. It's a good news that brings that right relationship with God, that puts us in right relationship with others and restores us to wholeness inside. Luke 1:79, we're told that the way of the Messiah would be the way of peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. More than that, Philippians 4:7 says that when we pray and bring everything to God, we can find the peace of God guarding our hearts. Or as it says in Colossians 3:15, the peace of Christ as umpire ruling in our hearts. We were once enemies to God. But according to Ephesians 2, we enter into peace through the cross of Christ. Now, who gets that peace? That's where the old version kind of misleads. If you dig in and understand what those words meant to people, you'll get it. But that's why a new translation is helpful. When we say simply goodwill toward men, it sounds like, well, everybody gets it, but they don't. We know that. We know our world is not a world where everyone is filled with peace. The common mistranslation of goodwill sounds like a wish, but really the idea is peace among those with whom He, God, is pleased. So the question comes, who is God pleased with? Well, let's do a little bit of logic here, okay? We know from Scripture, God is pleased with Jesus. He said that over and over again, didn't He? At His baptism and other places. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we know He was pleased with Jesus. But if you look in the New Testament, you discover that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And He certainly isn't pleased with people who are just going on doing what they always do. The Bible calls that being in the flesh. Romans 8:8 says those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So if it's Jesus who pleases God, how can we? So simply, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past, the new is come. You become one who pleases God when you, by faith, trust in Jesus and you are placed in Him. That's why the angels were so amazed. They're watching Jesus become one of us, and they've heard the prophets, but now they've seen all of this, and they're saying, God, you are glorious, and people, you don't understand what a wonderful gift you've just been given. You have the chance to receive what God is offering. And the shepherds got it. They understood it. How do we know that? Well, we know because they went. They basically put everything, you know, when they left, said, let's go see this. They're leaving sheep. They're supposed to guard sheep. Sheep can't take care of themselves. But this was more important. They went. They saw. They came to the place where the young child was, and they see him. They see him swaddled. They see just as the angels have said. We read further in the text that they rejoice. It says they went praising and glorifying God. They're rejoicing in what they're seeing. But more than that, and here's where I tell you, they're the first evangelists that says people were amazed at the things that the shepherds reported. They told people. They couldn't keep it to themselves. And by doing this, they received God's peace. It wasn't the doing that made them receive the peace. The doing shows that they had received the peace. They heard this message. They believed. How did they receive the peace? How can you receive the peace? Exactly the same way. You're not going to have angels appear. But here's how they received peace. They believed God's message. God sent them a message and they believed it. They acted on God's truth. They received God's blessing and they served God's purposes. And you and I can do that too, once we understand God's peace. Let me pray. We're going to have one more song. And then after that song, you're dismissed. Father, I don't know where everybody in this room is right now in terms of their relationship with you, but God, there are people here who need your peace. I am convinced of that. And Father, I would pray that people here right now dealing with brokenness, dealing with that sense of alienation, either from you or from others, that sense that they are not who they are meant to be, that they are not in right relationship with you, they don't feel or know or experience or believe that anything is good right now. But God, you can change that. You can change that if anyone will come to Jesus Christ, that Savior born in Bethlehem, if anyone will come to that baby who grew up to be the Savior of the world, who died in our place, who was raised from the dead, if anyone will come to Jesus and say, I need you. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. I need what you've done in my life. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved and can experience this peace. Lord, I pray that people will do that who need to do that today. And for those of us who have that peace, may we revel in it and see the freedom of being able to live in right relationship with you, with others, and to pursue what you have for our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.